Firstly, can I just start off by saying thank you for inviting me along here to share my testimony with you all. It's always a great pleasure to be invited anywhere just to share God's word. And tonight I really want to give God the glory from the beginning, basically for how he truly has turned many of my tests into the testimony that you're about to hear. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Aisling Wright. I'm 24 years old and I was born and raised in what we like to say the best part of Northern Ireland, Portadown. That's never well received. Currently, I'm a PhD student and I'm studying sports medicine at Queen's University in Belfast. I like to read quite a bit, and that was sort of ingrained from a young age. And my mum works in drop-in ministries, so quite a lot of the time within the charity shops, books are always handed in. And I can remember she gave me a book and she said to read, because she's an avid reader herself. And I found this quote, and it says, "Christians are always given their testimony about how I found the Lord, but the Lord wasn't lost. We were, and he found us." So let me just tell you about how the Lord found me. In order to understand a bit of my background, you need to know that I came from quite an unconventional family. I was born May 16th, 1990, to a loving Christian family of four. My mum, Thelma, my dad, Billy, my brother, Stephen, and my sister, Sarah. At 2 years old, my mother and father divorced. We regularly saw my dad every other weekend. At 7 years old, my father passed away. During my childhood, my siblings and I were raised alongside another Christian family called the McConnells, and they tragically lost their mother to cancer. And so the McConnell children were raised alongside me, my brother, and my sister. And I was the youngest of all seven of these children, and I can honestly proclaim tonight that I had a very happy childhood, and I wanted for nothing. As you now know, I belong to this very unconventional family, but yet it was a devout Christian family. I was brought up regularly attending churches, going to Sunday school, GB. The brethren meetings in around our area were always a good hit because you got the better sweets when you were younger, so I went there. Christian camps in the summer. Anything Christian related in our area as children, from as young as I can remember, we were sent out to church. And that was on behalf of Mum, and that was very much on behalf of Dad as well. At 4 years old, I was at the caravan down in County Down with my mum and my family. And we were watching a film about Moses. And the last scene of the film was Moses on Mount Sinai. And it then proceeded on to the animation of a young child with clasped hands praying. I was quite an inquisitive young child. And I questioned my mum about the sequence of the end parts of the film. I pondered what the image of Christ on the cross and this animated boy praying had got to do with the overall story of Moses. And it was there that my mother in the caravan proceeded to explain to me about God's plan of salvation. I knelt down at the coffee table in the living room of my caravan, and it was there that the grace of God saved me at 4 years of age. I know some people here tonight could be skeptical of childhood conversions. However, I know at 4 years old, I firmly grasped the fact that I had been born in sin. And I believed that Jesus Christ could rescue me and forgive me from my sins if I simply just trusted in him. The Bible tells us in Matthew 18, verses 3, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." That was how I got converted. And I prayed from that day forward that even yes, as I wanted to progress in my Christian walk, that I would always maintain that childlike faith. And that's why it's a blessing tonight to see so many children, because they're the future of the church. And I encourage everyone here tonight, whether you're a grandparent, an auntie, an uncle or a parent, keep putting your children out to church. Because it was the best thing that I think my choice that my mother ever made on behalf of all of her children. I tend to give my testimony a bit different to other people, and this is the point where I really just think the lyrics of the first song that I had chosen really fit in with the next part of my testimony. And initially I was going to sing a song called The Potter's Hand. And really, it was the reason being I chose this is because of the course. As a young Christian, this course just fits exactly what I prayed to God. Take me, mould me, use me, and fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, and walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. It tells us in Isaiah, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are simply just the clay. You are the potter, and we are all the work of your hand." I'm going to see if my backing track will work. If it doesn't, the band have kindly said they would back me up. So we'll try this and see. Here we go. God's goose. That wasn't working at the start.
Perfect. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are simply just the clay, and you are the potter. And we all are a work of your hand.
Where I finished off was when I got converted. And as I explained to you, that really was my prayer. I was simply just a child. I was going to go through the teenage years where I thought I knew everything and so forth and so forth. But I always prayed to God that I'm the clay. Mould me. I might get things wrong, but your grace extends beyond that. And he was faithful to me. And I really just want to explain this next part of my testimony is basically my journey with Christ to this point now. And how the circumstances of my life really impacted that. It says in Romans 10, verses 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My childhood faith began to develop through really experiencing Bible readings, memorising the memory verses that you were taught in the primary school, encountering how to worship God through song and prayer, reading Christian books, such as Hudson Taylor, Corrie ten Boom, and really having influential Christian role models and friends who really supported me and prayed for me during many of my tough times. On many occasions as a child, I can remember my father, Billy, reading me a story from the Bible before bedtime. Dad's favourite story was Daniel, so you often heard of Daniel. And if I was going to be a boy, that was what my name was going to be. He liked to remind you that. Dad always read you a story from the Bible before bedtime when he was available to do so, or he would have listened to you say your prayers before you would have went to sleep. I can also remember visiting them down in the Mays prison on Saturdays, and my dad very much encouraged our faith with God all the time, and I have to admit tonight that I truly had a very loving father-daughter relationship with my dad for the short period of time I got to spend with him. To me, all I ever knew Billy Wright as was my father. Unbeknownst to me, however, the majority of Northern Ireland and beyond the shores knew him as something very different. On the 27th of December 1997, when I was 7 years old, my father was murdered in the Mays prison by the INLA. I remember that day quite clearly because it was 2 days after Christmas. I had just got all my Christmas belongings from Santa. And that year, I really wanted a till. And Santa thankfully got me a till. And I oddly had great ambitions to grow up and just work in Tesco's because I had a fascination with tills. And I had my till on the 27th of December, and I was, for some strange reason, in the bathroom playing with it. But anyhow, I was in the bathroom playing with my till, and the telephone rang. And I watched my mum go to the telephone and the instructions being to switch the television on. So mum obviously carried this out, and the end result being that a large H shape appeared on the television screen in the living room. I stared quite blankly at the TV because I really couldn't identify with what was on the screen. However, I did watch my mother completely break down, wail very loudly while sitting on the bottom step of the stairs in complete shock, and she wasn't able to talk for hours. It was then that her door proceeded to knock all day with the media outside, already, and I can remember people just coming into our house on that morning and just crying. And then my siblings and I, we were brought away to different family friends' houses for security. I have to obviously admit that was a very pivotal moment within my Christian walk. I was just a child at 7 years old. And really, I think what people don't understand, I was very much raised in a Christian household. I was oblivious to anything of my dad's involvement. So at this point in time, to then see the media outside and the following part where you've seen dad on murals or you've seen books and the newspapers, it was a very confusing time because I just was trying to synthesise everything that was being printed. But I have to admit that it really was from that point in time that I felt, I really felt the pain of being fatherless. And I felt consistently judged by other people for being who I was. Going to school, many people, teachers and so forth, would have judged you. Children, as innocent as they were, would have said your dad was a murderer. And there was many of those different comments, accusations that I can remember growing as a Christian child, really struggling with. And I remember I used to come home to my mum, and anything that I was truly burdened by, I really asked for prayer. And my mother told me to seek much comfort and hope in the verses such as Isaiah 41, verse 10. She truly helped me through my unsettled thinking. And she herself had her father, my grandfather, and her brother murdered by the IRA. And so my mother often assured me how God's strength had brought her through her hardships. And if I simply just remained faithful to God through my hard times, and I praised him during my hard times, he would remain faithful. And I give God the praise tonight that I can stand here and do that because he was faithful. From that point onwards, after Dad's death and constantly feeling judged was just a test of faith that's truly never left me. However, I still read quite a lot of Christian books, and I can remember reading a book called Rachel's Tears, and it was about a young Christian girl in America who really stood up for her faith and was very courageous. And basically, she had wrote journals, prayer journals, and really a year before her actual death, she had wrote, "Lord, I'm ready to go. Take me and use me." And I can remember when the gunman went into the school, reading that part, it had a real grip on my life. And it said, when the gunman approached her out in the lunchroom, they gave her a chance and they said, "Rachel, do you want to live? If you deny Christ, we'll let you live. If you don't, we'll treat you in the knees. And we'll give you a chance still." And she said, and she shook her head. And I just thought to myself, at 13 years of age, could I have said the same thing? I wanted that type of faith. I wanted to be so assured to not fear anything. And I can remember really meditating and praying to God. And a verse that he gave me when I was 13 was Psalm 68, verses 5. "Father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." This verse reminded me that I'm a child of the Heavenly Father. And it's in him that my identity lies in as a Christian. It tells us in Galatians, and I think I have it bookmarked here. It tells us in Galatians that when you become a Christian, about your Christian identity, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me." It really was at 13 years of age that I truly understood what it meant to give your life to Christ and to really hand it over wholeheartedly. Not just in a compartment, but how to truly live for Christ. It's not a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. And when you surrender yourself to God and you let him take full control of your life, even in the hardships, he gives you hope and he gives you a strength that surpasses anything beyond this earth. Really the key message of my testimony, to be honest, being raised in such a sectarian country that I then obviously from 7 onwards got exposed to, I truly realise that your identity doesn't lie in being a Catholic, a Protestant. It doesn't lie in being the daughter of a loyalist paramilitary leader, because none of that matters when you get to heaven. The key message of my testimony really is, are you getting to heaven? And I believe that the very first verse I ever learned as a child, John 3:16, really explains that. I know there's people, and my brother's one of them, who for many of the years sat beside me in church and often said, even though he was brought up exactly the same way as me, believed that his mistakes were bigger than God's mercy. But it tells us in Lamentations, God's mercy is bigger than any of your mistakes. And you must understand that grace is getting something you don't deserve. And that is what every Christian here tonight is saved by. What advice can I leave you with? And sometimes it seems quite hypocritical as a 24-year-old, because I'm sure there's plenty of people in here with a lot more life experience and wisdom than I. But so far, along my hardships, I've learned that problems and trials are actually very good for us. And the Bible tells us as Christians why they're good for us in Romans 5, 3 and 4. Because as Christians, they'll develop a strength of character in us. I think sometimes as a young girl growing up in the church, I was quite naive to think that when you became a Christian, the life would be all roses. It's not. But God assures you in his word that has stood the test of time over years that he will be that strength when you feel weak. And through the tough times, it may seem a contradiction, but you will learn enjoyment. It tells us in James 1, verses 2, "Count it all joy when you fall into trials." I personally was really challenged by that as a Christian, because there's not too often when I fall into a true hardship that I actually think to myself, I'm going to count it all joy. But the Bible tells us, count it all joy. Because it's when you pass God's test that he will fill you with his joy. So remember, if you're going through a hardship right now, praise God, not just for the blessings in your life, but praise him in your storm also, because he is working. Through your tough times, you will learn enlargement. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 4, verses 1, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Our greatest progress comes from our greatest pain. Hence, God won't always save you from the hardship that you're going through, but he will always strengthen you during it. Through your tough times, you will learn enlightenment. The Bible says in Psalms 112, verses 4, Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. We don't often realise how little we know until we walk through life's dark places, and eventually God will switch the light on. Through your tough times, you will learn endurance. It tells us in James 5, verses 7 to 8, See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm. I think the biggest test that I've endured over the past year and a half is this one, that your timing will not always be the same as God's timing. So you must learn to be patient, but understand God is working. This time last year, we had our house burnt down in an arson attack. And we praise God tonight that nobody was injured. We praise God tonight that we still have the memory, despite losing many material things. However, since the ordeal, my brother has fell quite ill. And so tonight, when God has presented me with an opportunity to share my testimony, I want to ask for prayer for my brother, that you would remember him tonight and lift him up to God. And just pray for his healing mercies. And we just pray that this is the test that we've endured for the past year and a half, that yet again, your timing and God's timing aren't always in sync. But learn to be patient and understand he's working. I want to finish with a song that I think the lyrics of the song just really explain what my testimony can be summed up as, and it's the power of the cross. And if you know it, please feel free to join in with me. Thank you. Thank you again for having me along. It really is a pleasure. I've now converted to being a Belfast resident just recently, so I've just moved to Ravenhill, so I hope I can be here again with these. I really just want to end yet again, if there's someone here tonight who's not saved, just to reiterate again, God's mercy is much bigger than any of your mistakes, and that really is what God's grace is about. And I remember my very first Sunday school teacher telling me with John 3:16, take out the whosoever, and when you read it back, put your name in it. And I pray tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, I'm not here to tell you that the Christian walk is an easy walk. My father was the one who told me, if anything, it's harder to be a Christian than it is to be anything else. But he says the difference is, even when you're at rock bottom, he's the rock holding you up. And I just want to end tonight, for those here who could be a Christian and you're facing any hardship, to encourage you. Tests of faith are trials and hardships that God is possibly inviting you to surrender something of great value to him. So during your hardship, praise him amidst your storm, and also thank him for your blessings. Thank you again for having me along.